Hi, my name is Claire and I'm the mother of three teenagers with FASD.
I'm Jessica, a PhD researcher specialising in educational interventions for children with FASD.
And together we are the hosts of Spotlight on FASD, the UK's first podcast dedicated to shining a spotlight on fetal alcohol spectrum disorders.
FASD is a condition caused by prenatal alcohol exposure that affects hundreds of thousands of children across the UK.
And we're here to bring these conversations out of the shadows and make sure that no one living with FASD feels alone.
Hi, and welcome back to a brand new season of Spotlight on FASD. This is the start of season four for us. We have had a little bit of a break. We've had lots of things happening. New arrival, COVID, all of that. So we decided to take the summer off, thankfully, because I don't think we could have managed to produce anything. But we wanted to come back today because today is the 9th of September and it is International FASD Awareness Day. Mm-hmm. So that's it's a really important day to us. It is also our 1 year anniversary. So is it our anniversary or our birthday? What is it? It's our birthday. Spotlight on FASD's first birthday. It's a year since we launched. And we were just having a little look through. We've got nearly 8,000, close to 8,000 views and listens, which is really, really good. And we're really, really grateful for that. But it's given us a little bit of a kick up the backside because it's nowhere near enough. And we know we've had such wonderful stories from people listening to our podcast who have then got in touch with us. And so many things have been achieved and so many different journeys have been started for different people. So it has been wonderful. But considering that, so whoever is listening to this or watching this, if you've just stumbled across it, if you're working in education, if you're in the care system, whatever reason that you are listening to or watching this, we know that you know somebody with FASD, whether you realize it or not. The prevalence is so high that somebody probably in your everyday life has FASD. And they probably don't. Yeah, they probably don't know it. But so we need to work harder at getting the message across, getting the word out. And so we thought, time to, Jess has had quite long enough now after growing and delivering a human. So we thought, let's get back in the saddle and put something out for International FASD Awareness Day.
This is the biggest day in FASD calendar. Like, this is the day, and it's a day when you will see a lot of activity on social media. A lot of the organizations around the world who are supporting people with FASD, different research groups, different universities, different, you know, even families, individual families, other podcasters, they will all acknowledge this day. So this is a really fantastic day in terms of resources as well. So you know, if you're listening to this, we really appreciate that, obviously, but this is also an opportunity to go out and have a look what else is out there, because tomorrow the world of FASD digitally will be flooded with information and
with red shoes. So FASD, so the Awareness Day was founded by a Canadian man called RJ Formanek, and he is an adult with FASD, and he started the Red Shoes Rock movement, and it really is a movement now. And he started to wear red shoes, and the whole idea behind it was to start a conversation, because people would be a little bit taken aback that these bright red shoes, they would make a comment about it, and he would get into a conversation and explain that people with FASD, living with FASD, are often viewed as different, being a little bit different, whether or not people know that they've got this condition or not. They are just different to the norm. Wearing bright red shoes is a little bit out there, and that's why he started it. So I've just been talking to Jess about this. I've noticed a huge increase in awareness from even last year. Just my general Facebook feed, Instagram feed, is lots of different schools and colleges and organisations in the UK recognising it. And, you know, bulletins getting sent home from school within the first week saying, you know, if you want to send them in red shoes or wear something red. So, because a lot of people don't have red shoes, wear something red. So it's amazing that this is, you know, 2 years ago, I don't think there will have been a school, unless you had a pretty involved parent who went to school and said, will you please do this on this day and I'll help facilitate it. There were no schools doing it. Yeah. So the fact that there are multiple schools across England and Scotland and Wales doing it is just, it's really, really exciting. And it's lovely to see and to know that it really is starting to filter through.
Yeah, it'll be really noticeable to you as well, because, you know, it probably won't come as much of a surprise that Clive's social media channels will be very FASD heavy, connected with all the FASD groups, other parents, and different things. So it would be really, really noticeable to go from, like, you know, 12 people or organisations or schools acknowledging it 2 years ago. This Red Shoes movement was only started in 2013. Mm-hmm. And that was in Canada. And, you know, as we know, Canada's way ahead with the whole FASD journey than we are over here in Europe, and especially in the UK and especially England. But, you know, for that so quickly to have just happened in Canada and America back in 2013, and it already, you know, we haven't even got our nice quality standards yet. Scotland got all their diagnosis pathway in 2019, yet already the conversations are starting to the point where, you know, people are aware of this movement and this day and are acknowledging it to a level where the schools are taking it on board, which is
exactly, and as part of the, you know, it was so lovely to see somebody had put a screenshot of like a school bulletin, and it was what was happening over the next 6 weeks, all the different dates, all the different special days, and the fact that it was just in there as a normal 9th of September, International FASD Awareness Day. It was lovely that it wasn't this like, oh, no, we're not going to be able to do that because nobody's going to know what it is. So I think that's a huge credit to everybody who's been involved, certainly in the UK over the last 12 months, because it is really starting to take shape. Mm-hmm. But still, nowhere near as much as it needs.
This is a 12-month period where there's been a lot of restrictions as well. This is a 12-month period where a lot of things have been shut down, a lot of things have stopped, a lot of things have been pushed to the side, yet it's a 12-month period where the FASD community in England has pushed and pushed and pushed and not given up and not sat down and not hid behind their screens, because it's so much easier just to be quiet and deal with the whole COVID situation. You know, the FASD community has pushed through all of that and has continued to grow at a time when, you know, everybody in the world has faced challenges.
Because we've had to, because life with FASD hasn't, you know, it hasn't stopped, it hasn't changed. All of the challenges are probably even more difficult than they were before. So, you know, the you'll usually find it's a sleep-deprived parent, carer, foster carer behind a lot of the pushing, because they know that the support has got to be created and it's got to be built. But it's all, I feel really, it was lovely reflecting on things, because I thought, I was excited this time last year to start this because I knew we desperately needed it. But the fact that I can see the difference that it's already making on just like 8,000 interactions, which is, it's tiny, but there are so many stories that I could think off the top of my head where somebody has listened to the podcast, it's led them to something else, it's led them to there, and things have happened for children and young people that wouldn't have happened had that person not listened to the podcast. So it's I'm feeling very, very positive, although I am severely sleep deprived myself, trying to mother FASD at the minute, I actually feel an overwhelming feeling of excitement and positivity for what's to come in the next 12 months. It's
interesting you say that, because this, you know, I became really familiar with the whole Red Shoes movement in 2019. I met Jody Culp at the Proof Alliance conference when they went from being MOFAS to being Proof Alliance. And she, I guess, came on board with the Red Shoes Rock movement a year after it was launched, and really, you know, took hold from a marketing and graphic design and that side of things. She's the parent. She has adult children. That's not a thing. I'm sleep deprived as well.
I think no, it is.
She has grown. Her children are grown up. Her children are grown adults now. They are individuals living with FASD. And so she's, you know, she is that sleep deprived parent at 3 o'clock in the morning who's desperate to find.
I think we could put ourselves forward for when it comes to podcast awards for the most sleep deprived podcast.
Let's
mother of brand new baby, mother of three teens with FASD. So jointly, we probably are the most sleep deprived podcast in the UK. I wonder if there's a category for that. I'm going to check.
If anybody's listening who can put us forward for that award, that would be great, because, you know, we'd love it. Yeah, but where I was going with that, like Claire says, it will all be driven by a parent who has lived it and needs to change the path for those following. And I've got at least one book, possibly two, that were written by Jodie and one of her children who I met as well at that conference. So, you know, really, really interesting. But the fact that there's books being published about their stories, their educational journeys, their, you know, this whole movement is driven by the parent who's up at 3 a.m.
It definitely is. And I think this week as well, National FASD have launched their amazing board game called The Misunderstoods. And it's just so lovely. And it's just kind of, because as an FASD parent, I've used autism resources for a long, long time. And they are fantastic. And they're the closest thing that I can get to what my children need. But they are not what my children need. They're not specific to FASD. So you always have to tweak everything. So just, it's lovely to think that in a few years' time, parents and people, family members of children and young people with FASD are going to be able to go out and just buy things that are helpful. Like, we're going to be able to just search on Amazon and find the way you can now for autism resources. I don't believe that's very far off now for FASD. And it excites us, because even a year ago, I would have thought that was a long, long way in the future. I really don't think it is. Everything is moving so fast. So, yeah, we just wanted to come on to say that we're back. We're very excited to be back. We are raring to go. We are. I know we joke about being sleep deprived, but this helps us empty our brains, because this fills our brains so much all the time that we need to get it out. So this is our therapy. This is self-care for us. And it was always been self-care for me. It's now self-care for Jessica. That she knows she's joined the sleep deprivation club. So we wanted to just say that we're about to launch into a new season. We're going to be totally honest. We haven't got a real theme for this season. Not yet, anyway. We're just going to go with what's topical and what's coming up, and maybe recap on a lot of stuff that we've touched on, go in a little bit more detail. You know, it's September, it's back to school. You know, I kind of want to also acknowledge that it's not back to school for a lot of people. And that can make it a really, really tricky time. It can make it a really sad and lonely and isolating time for parents and carers of children who aren't able to go back to school, who either don't have a suitable placement, who are unable to get to their placement, and, you know, labelled school refusers, for whatever reason, September can be tough because...
It just highlights
other
that.
Parents, it does. And other parents, rightly so, are shouting from the rooftops about their children going back to school, everyone getting back into a routine. And it can sometimes just knock the wind from you a little bit, thinking, oh, my life is never going to look like that again. But it will. It absolutely will. And I think that, you know, it's also for the parents of FASD kids whose kids have gone back to school, then, you know, you are probably elated, as you should be. I just want to recognise everybody that it's not this all, oh, back to school, fantastic. You know, a little bit of breathing space for you, back into routine, because for a lot of people there's just no change at all. Everyone else.
For anybody, I don't know how much reassurance or comfort parents and carers would find from it, but for anybody working in education, our whole season 3, which was cut short due to the early arrival of a baby, the whole of season 3 of this podcast was solely dedicated to education. We were talking all things education. So I guess, you know, even if you are you're a parent or a carer, it could possibly be another resource that you, you know, go into school with if you're faced with a new teacher, new school, new learning support, anything like that. Just, it's a resource, put it in your toolbox, direct people towards it, and I really hope that we can help in some way, because like I say, we talked a lot through last season about education, so for anybody trying to navigate that scene just now.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people kind of, because it is lovely to have a little bit of a breather in the summer, even though it's very, very tricky if you are lucky enough to have a routine and then your routine stops. That can be a bit devastating. Quite often as well, if you've got a lot of services involved when it comes to education, if you've got professionals involved when it comes to education, they will vanish towards the end of July. And you are quite often set adrift. And in a lot of ways, that's easy, because it's a little bit of pressure off. You don't get that knot in your stomach when an email pops up or when a phone number that you recognize and you're like, oh, I need to speak to them. So you've got a little bit of leeway. But then also I want to acknowledge the feelings of anxiety this is going to be bringing for parents and caregivers, that this is all going to ramp back up again now from this week. So we are here if you have any questions, any queries. If there's a situation we haven't encountered ourselves, either me through my life or Jess through her work, we will know somebody who has. So, yeah. You know, even if you didn't want to, even if you didn't want us to talk about it specifically on the podcast, we are, you know, don't ever feel like you've got nobody to reach out to when it comes to FASD. And I think I really, really, really want to put that message out to biological mums and birth parents. You know, this is a complete stigma-free zone. There is just no room for that.
An interview with Ange in Australia, who is a birth mother, and she's talked about her story. And yeah, it's stigma-free.
Yeah, so we're back, and we will be as wide awake as we possibly can be, with lots of information about FASD. We'll definitely have lots of guests. I really want to speak to lots more parents and carers, and I really fancy speaking to a teacher. I think going back into the new term, we'll speak to a teacher. Just want to constantly pick away at it so that we can help you and uncover anything that you might be stumbling across. So we hope that you come back and join us for the start of our next season.
And keep spreading the word, please. Like, all we're doing here, I mean, yes, self-care, as Claire said, but we're trying to create a resource bank.
Yeah.
That's it. We're trying to create a resource bank that people can be guided to. And just hope it changes the story for somebody, or, you know, supports them in any way, gives them a little bit of help.
It will change the story. It is changing the story, and it will continue. And it'll continue to reach more and more people with your help. If you you listen to this and you're a teacher or any kind of a professional, just tell somebody about it. Recommend that they listen to it. And then, you know, that's the way that we're going to spread the word and spread the awareness. Because that's all we need, really, the awareness, because then that brings tolerance and understanding. Yeah. So thank you very much for listening to us today. Just a little short one today, just to say hello, and we are back. And get your red shoes on.
Red shoes at the ready.
And we will see you next time.
Yeah.